Wednesday afternoon, time for our bi-monthly conversation with MIBiz senior writer Mark Sanchez. We've seen the rise of the craft beer industry. We're seeing much the same with cideries and distilleries in the area.
Yeah, you know, for years we've watched, first the wineries in Michigan over the last 20 to 30 years. Last decade plus, we've seen craft brewers really rise up and take a good chunk of the marketplace. And now, as you said, this week, we're taking a look at the distilleries and the cideries here in Michigan, West Michigan. We sat down, our editor Joe Boomgard, and sat down with some folks from about a half dozen or seven different companies, distilleries and cideries, and just sat down in these periodic roundtable conversations we do with business leaders to talk about their industry and where it's going. And it's kind of interesting. Like a lot of folks who started the craft brewers, many of these folks and these companies here in West Michigan, they were in other professions, other occupations. One was writing computer software. One was a CPA. One worked in neurosciences. A couple have been involved in farming and agriculture. So it was kind of a second career, and they started these distilleries and cideries. And one of the things we see, and always stands out to me at least, is a lot of folks love their craft brews. They maybe buy that bottle of whatever off the shelf for their cocktails that was made locally. And there's a certain sense of buy local and all that to it. Underneath and behind all that is a business that's, in many ways, these guys face the same issues as other businesses. In this conversation with them, they talked about getting talent. They talked about distribution and getting their product to market. They talked about some of those other issues they face as a business, competing against these large multinational corporations that make spirits and the large distilleries, and how they have to compete against them. And it's about taste, but it's also about price and what does the consumer look for. So it's an interesting read if you have an interest in that area, these local distilleries and cideries. I'd invite you to go on to MIBiz.com and take a look. It's an interesting conversation with some of these folks.
A lot of it has to do with just being unique and different and having that family feel of being able to stop in the actual establishment.
Yeah, and that is some of the appeal of the wineries and the craft brewers. And my wife and I, for years, we like 2-3 times a year going up to Traverse City in the Leelanau Peninsula and restocking our wine rack. And we stop in. We have 3 or 4 of our favorite wineries. And one in particular, we can stand there and do our tasting and talk with the owner. And they talk about their product and the processes and what they do and how they make their product. And it's and that's part of the appeal of that industry up there. Craft brewers have done the same thing. And in this conversation we had with the distilleries and hard ciders, they're somewhat similar to that. Yes, their product's different, but they're local, and people have an interest. And part of the appeal is that buy local, source local, but also being able to talk to the folks behind the business when you go in for a taste and learn about the process and become educated about what it takes to produce this product.
And of course, there are some people who say a little wine is good for the heart. That's my segue into healthcare here. So in this week's edition, a lot of news on healthcare and disruption in the marketplace. We saw some of that a week or so ago with some big name players saying it's time to change the playing field in healthcare.
And I do this a lot with people. Okay, everybody show their hands of folks who love and will defend the status quo of healthcare in America. All right, I'm not seeing any. Okay, I'm playing on radio here, but everybody understands the point, which is really the status quo in healthcare is pretty indefensible from a financial and economic standpoint, especially with these costs going up that are just continuing to hammer employers, both large and small. And employers have been doing everything they can to still do what they can to provide health benefits to employees, but not, really mess up the bottom line. So there's more and more pressure on hospitals and doctors and providers. And basically, I've got a couple of stories this week. One is Mercy Health opened a new primary care practice on the west side of Grand Rapids over on Broadway. And it's trying to be a little different. It's designed different to really have better flows through the facility, using some new processes, new design of the facility. And the other story we talk a little bit about is this announcement a few weeks ago. There are a number of health systems across the country. This includes Trinity Health, which is based in Livonia, owns Mercy Health, and Ascension Health, which owns Borges down in Kalamazoo. They're talking about going into the generic pharmaceutical business, either contracting out or making their own, because they've been suffering from these price spikes and shortages of generic drugs that they use in the hospital, and they're taking it on themselves to solve it. Then you saw the announcement last week with J.P. Morgan, Berkshire Hathaway, and Amazon about their getting into the healthcare business. And Amazon has already been talking about distributing medications, pharmaceuticals. We've seen other announcements. I've done stories lately about private equity beginning to really come in hard into this space and buying physician practices, especially specialty practices. We've seen Grand Rapids Ophthalmology last year and Shoreline Vision here this past month sell to a private equity group. What does this all point to is something I point out talking to a gentleman from Plant Moran in a column I wrote is basically get ready for disruption. There is disruption on the way for the healthcare industry. A lot of folks will tell you that it's probably needed. There are folks beginning to come into that area that know a lot about getting waste out of the system, efficiency, productivity, optimize your size to better absorb costs. There's a new world coming for healthcare. That's at least the prediction gentleman I talked to, Tony Colarossi, at Plant Moran, where he says this is going to be the real key area for healthcare in the next decade. Disrupting existing models and new players coming in to provide healthcare, and keep an eye on it.
Well, how will that work with the health systems forming their own generic drug maker in a bid to control rising pharma costs? What is the plan there?
Based on looking at it and reading and looking into it, just basically conceptual idea right now. Do they produce these medications on their own? Do they contract them out? You know, they've got a business concept right now. We'll see how this unfolds over the next year or two. But there are some really big players involved in this. They collectively, these five health systems, have about 10% of the hospitals in America. They are big, large organizations. Will the pharma companies finally respond and say, oh, no, let us do something. You don't need to do this. Again, folks I talked to about this, they said if the pharmaceutical companies had been responding to the health systems, you wouldn't see this initiative. So how is it exactly going to roll out? Was not a lot of details in the announcement a couple of weeks ago. So that's, again, keep an eye on this and watch as this unfolds, because it is going to change some things in that industry.
And then Mercy Health is piloting a new practice and design model.
Yeah, and we'll see if this works out. You know, this is the second one of these initiatives we've seen here in Grand Rapids. Last summer, Spectrum Health opened a new primary practice in downtown called Strive. It's primary care with a high focus on well-being, keeping you healthy, preventing illness. And it's a little different. It's a membership model. You can pay an annual membership fee and have access to a doctor or all these support services such as nutritionists and those folks. Mercy Health is going with a little bit more of the traditional model on the west side, but going through it a couple of weeks ago, it's a different design that they're trying. And some of the ways they're going to move folks through there, they're just trying to improve the processes, improving the flow, and ultimately improve the patient care. And if they can get a handle on some of those patients who have, you know, the chronic illnesses are what really drive healthcare costs. If they can get folks to take better care of their own health who have those conditions that are high cost, then they're onto something, and they think they can produce a better service and generate overall better health for people.
Increasing business. Facebook, there's a survey outlining an increasing use of social media among small businesses. It's a competitive place out there.
Small business owners are folks who are always looking on how to best use their resources and what do they have to do to get their business out there and generate sales. And this is a survey by Facebook and the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. And it just shows the large extent small business owners are using social media, not just Facebook, but Twitter, Instagram, LinkedIn, to create brand awareness, to promote, to engage with customers. I talked to a gentleman, Damn Handsome Grooming, down in Battle Creek. They formed 4 years ago. They take the byproduct of craft brewers and they create grooming products for men. They're sold online, and get this, at specialty retailers, including Urban Outfitters and Banana Republic. They make high use of social media to basically interact with customers, send messages to customers about what's coming out this day or next week. They just talking about the processes, talking about what's going on at the company day to day. And it's a way to engage with customers. Talking to the gentleman that runs that company, he says they've had great success with it. Bottom line, here's what that survey said. 3/4 of the respondents use at least one social media platform for sales. 80%, 8 in 10, use it to show off products and services and to advertise. Another nearly 8 out of 10 said they engage with their customers on a platform such as Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram. These are big numbers, and right now it's fairly small cost for these small businesses. And it's a kind of a way to make use of these platforms, promote your business, and create awareness.
MIBiz senior writer Mark Sanchez, thank you so much.
You're welcome, and talk to you again in 2 weeks.